Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association.
Dr. David Van Roy is Senior Director of International Human Resources Strategy and Operations at Walmart. In his prior role at Walmart, he was responsible for the world's largest performance management and employee engagement programs. He's also overseen the development of talent management programs for leading companies, including Burger King and Marriott International. David has published over 20 peer-reviewed scientific business articles and book chapters, and he's the author of Trajectory, Seven Career Strategies to Take You from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And it's published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. David, welcome to Edgewise.
Hey, great. Thanks. Good to be here.
All right, let's just jump in. What steps can people take in their current jobs to help them be ready to move ahead in their career trajectory?
As simple as it may sound, the most important thing is to have an idea of which job you want. I'm always really surprised by how many people don't know what they want to do after their current job. This, of course, creates a really serious gap if you're trying to figure out what do you need to do to prepare for it. I therefore think it's essential that everyone really give this the deep consideration it deserves and hone in on which job they want next. A simple framework that I like to use to help people prepare is to look at it in three different parts: now, next, and then. The first part of this is, what do you need to do now to be successful and stand out in your current job? If you don't do this, of course, you'll never be able to get to your next job. The second part, the next, is what do you need to do to prepare yourself to be a top candidate for the next job you want? So start thinking today about the skills you need to develop for tomorrow. The hardest part is the then. This is to decide what comes after, what's next. The thing is, if you don't know the job you want 2 moves out, it makes it so much harder to strategically pick your next role. What you'll see is people often will jump to a job for money or some other short-term gain, but it's critical to also make sure that that job provides you the skills and serves as a stepping stone for the job that you want after that. So my recommendation is, don't sit on the sidelines and wait for these opportunities to come to you. Be deliberate with your career planning, and you'll then be able to greatly increase your chances of reaching your goals.
Seeing your career trajectory requires a big picture perspective for long-range career plans. Now, how can people shift gears and react fast when an unexpected opportunity presents itself?
You're absolutely right, and you need to have that big picture perspective. The thing you want to remember in your career, though, is that unexpected events and opportunities are always going to come along, and you're going to want to be prepared for these. What you'll find is these transitions can be very challenging, and you have to really think deeply about them, but they're not impossible. Most likely, everything you've done up to that point actually played a large role in the unexpected opportunity coming up in the first place. So to help yourself prepare for when this does happen, it's useful to think through important questions in advance. This will then enable you to have a good idea of what to do when these situations arise. For instance, ask yourself beforehand, would you be willing to move to another city? Would you maybe even be willing to move to another country? Would you consider taking a job in a different part of the company? There's a whole bunch of questions you can ask yourself, so when it does come up, you can have a rough idea of what to do and create a plan around that. But you also don't want to be too rigid, and there's going to be a lot of unknowns, and you'll find that sometimes having a loose plan is what you want. And because of that, the plan will serve more as a guide, and then you'll be willing and able to change course along the way when the opportunity is right. So by not being quite as rigid, you'll have these unexpected opportunities that come your way. You'll be prepared for them and ready to jump after them if they're right.
Okay, David, here's the Zen part of the program here. Now, the idea of slowing down in order to move faster and get ahead, that strikes me as sort of counterintuitive. Can you explain the role that slowing down plays in making quick, effective moves that will allow a person to reach their biggest goals?
Yeah, that's a good one. And as counterintuitive as it does sound at first, sometimes the best thing you can do to go fast is slow down. You'll find people will often get a lot of energy and they'll try to tackle something really big all at once or before they've really prepared themselves to do so. And unfortunately, all too often this does not lead to the desired immediate success. And instead, it ends up requiring you to backtrack and try a new approach, or sometimes even start all over. What you can do instead is break your goals into more manageable chunks and milestones, and then it'll become easier to build momentum and actually make rapid progress. Dave, as you probably know, this is supported by decades of psychological research that have shown us the importance of setting the right types of goals. And because of this, I often advise people to think big, act small, and move quick when they're establishing and working towards their goals. What this does is it creates a goalpost for your ultimate objective. This is your think big part. So this might be something related to a new project, to a business. It could be just about anything. And you'll find the way that you get there is through a series of smaller actions. And then these will add up, and because of their size, you can reach these milestones very quickly. As you reach these milestones successfully, it's going to build even more confidence, and that's going to further increase your likelihood of reaching that big goal. Probably a really simple way to break this down would be to use marathon training as an example. For me, at least, the idea of running 26 miles is quite daunting, and I don't know too many people that can just wake up and run a marathon without preparing. So what you can do is set different training milestones, and maybe you run a 5K first, and then you train some more, and then you run a 10K, and you train some more, and you keep building up to that marathon, and before long, you'll find that you'll be able to finish it. However, if you didn't have that plan in place, you're going to run out of the gate too fast, and you're likely going to burn out and get injured before you ever have a chance to finish. So what may seem like slow training actually becomes a very nice plan that allows you to build confidence and complete that marathon.
A person can be paralyzed by fear, and a fear of failure, it can just stop many people cold, whether it's in their career or in their life or even approaching a larger project in their current job. What's your recommendations for dealing with that failure, and can you turn that failure to springboard you to success, or can it actually turn into a benefit?
Yeah, it's difficult, but absolutely. And you'll find that so many successes actually do come out of unexpected events. And sometimes these, of course, are failures. And it happens at many levels and all over the place. There's very well-known products such as penicillin and Post-it notes that were discovered only after the original purpose did not work. And then there's just amazing success stories such as Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, who only found success after dealing with very difficult failures. And Dave, the thing is, nobody wants failure to happen. But when it does, it's important to keep the right perspective. And I bring up Edison because he's one of my favorite examples. And when he was working to invent the light bulb, he said, "I've not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." So he had a great perspective that through a process of elimination and failure, he thought he was getting closer to his end goal. One of the ironic things about failure, though, is that it becomes more likely to occur when the risks you take are bigger. And you'll find bigger risk is associated with more reward, but also more downside. And if you never take the risks, you're going to find you're not going to reach your full potential. So another way to look at that is, if you never failed, you've probably really not stretched yourself to your maximum. And it's this maximum effort that people really notice and that will propel you to even greater things in your career. Something I'd like to point out, though, is, you know, if you look around right now in the articles and all the blogs, failure is a really trendy idea right now that it's a good thing. But make no mistake, it's not fun and it can have serious consequences. So it's also important to gauge what support you have, and don't just assume that you can fail at something and it'll be okay. Think about the guardrails that are in place and then decide how far you're able and willing to push something.
Nobody likes getting criticized. However, we demand feedback, and feedback is obviously at the top of a lot of business writers and bloggers and social scientists' lists of things that we should crave and we should desire. Now, beyond an immediate supervisor, your boss, how can you get productive and meaningful feedback?
First off, feedback is one of the most important tools everyone has at their disposal. I would say, unfortunately, though, it's really underused because people tend to think they know what they do good and what they don't do good. However, our research shows us that people are actually really bad at self-assessing themselves. For instance, in the workplace, you look at performance evaluations, there's an almost insignificant relationship between our self-ratings of our performance and how our managers rate us. If you want to take this into a simple context, just ask 10 people sometime if they're a better than average driver. Maybe ask them if they're a better than average parent. And what you're going to find is most people will probably say yes, which is, of course, not statistically possible. Before I get into where to get feedback beyond your supervisor, though, it's really critical to mention how to get feedback. First, you need to proactively ask for it. Just don't assume that someone is going to bring it to you because they want to. Second, you need to create a safe environment and give that person the permission to be candid with you and give you that hard feedback that they might otherwise hold back. And then third, don't react negatively. You must be willing to listen to and respond to the feedback without letting it become personal. So where to get feedback from beyond your immediate supervisor, which you should, there's a number of things that you can do. One of the best, I think, is to find a trusted mentor. This is a person that can provide you with guidance, they can serve as an advisor, and even be a sponsor for you. You'll find a lot of times people look for the most senior mentor possible, but be sure to think about the person in regards to your career goals, and you should be finding people that have insight into the areas and the skills that you need to develop. Sometimes then you might want to look for mentors from another part of the business or maybe even outside of your company. Another helpful method is 360 feedback. And this is an approach where you get input from your peers, people on teams you worked with, your superiors, and sometimes even vendors and customers outside of the company. A benefit of the 360 feedback is that people may feel more comfortable giving you feedback because it's normally anonymous. And then because you have multiple people providing it, it becomes easy to see trends to really allow you to hone in on what are those key things that you should be working on. Another thing you can do is even just run something by somebody in a completely different area, somebody who has no idea what you're talking about, and they'll look at it from a fresh perspective and a different lens to perhaps give you new insights. At the end of the day, there's so many ways to get feedback, and the most important thing is you just have to be willing to go out and ask for it.
All right, let's talk about career plateaus. Now, most of us will experience a few over the decades that we're working. Is a plateau a good thing or is it a bad thing?
The thing with plateaus is that they really depend upon your circumstances and perspective. Everyone, as you mentioned, at some point is going to reach a plateau of some degree during their career. But when you get to a plateau, there's really only three options when you reach one. You can embrace it, you can try to break out of it, or you can ignore it and stagnate. And what you'll find is your goals and aspirations will play a really big role in determining how you view that plateau and which of those options you take. What's a negative plateau for one person could actually be a really great situation for another. And a plateau only really becomes bad if you're trying to do more and you can't find a way to get there. Someone else could be in that exact same situation and be quite content and enjoy what they're doing. It really depends on whether you do feel like you're stuck or frustrated. Just because you've been doing something for a long time does not mean that you need to do something differently. You just need to be happy with your decision. For instance, let's take a college graduate that had a dream of being a high school principal, and the way to get there was to become an elementary teacher. But along the way, they totally fell in love with their job as a teacher and decided to stay there. This person reached a plateau as a teacher, but you could look at it as a positive plateau because they found a level of happiness. And when you do that, you don't want to run away from it. The worst thing you can do, though, if you get to one, is ignore or blame others if you find yourself in that job where you feel stuck. Instead, it's really important to take ownership of your situation, decide what actions you need to take, and then put a plan together to break out of that plateau and get back on track to where you want to be.
We've been speaking to David Van Rooy. He is author of a great new book entitled Trajectory, 7 Career Strategies to Take You from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. David, thanks for talking with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
AMA webcasts bring you 60 minutes of thought-provoking insight, specific answers to your management challenges, and conversations with renowned thought leaders. Best of all, they're all free. For a complete schedule of upcoming webcasts, visit the events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.